Man, I'm ready to preach now. I never thought I'd get to preach with a drum line coming out, you know. I'll really be jazzed up. I want to tell you, how many of y'all, you know, the rhythm of the drum, the sound of the cymbal, the instruments, the music begins to alert us to something. Something significantly important has happened in this world. Christ is born. And as we celebrate the Advent, it allows us to feel the building of the coming of the Lord. But there is a crescendo at the birth of Jesus. The world has changed. The world has changed when Jesus is born. Now, you and I are recipients of the change. Now, you think about this. The world before Christ's birth was without the infusion of the resurrection. We ought to be better at following God than our folk were in the Old Testament. They had the law, they had the ritual, they had the sacrifice of the lamb. They had to go to God. You see, the Advent allows us to hear this wonderful message. God is coming to you. God is coming to you. The advent of God, the reality of God, the hope of who? And now the peace of God. How many of y'all would like to have a little peace in your existence? Well, I want you to go, we're going to go to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at Mary. We're going to look at Mary this week. We looked at Joseph last week, a man of faith in a ridiculous situation. So we've learned this year in the Advent that I got to hold on to what God says, even if it seems ridiculous to the world. Because you know what? This Bible is ridiculous to the world. How many of y'all realize that most people don't believe the Bible? Now, for your pastor, that doesn't cause an earth-shattering moment in my life. You know, there's a lot of my counterparts, if somebody says they don't believe the Bible, they have a total come apart and they spend the rest of their ministry proving that the Bible's true. See, most people didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And I didn't see Jesus spending his lifetime here with us proving to the religious and to the non-believer that he was true. He didn't waste his time doing that. He was the truth in our midst. And I think, church, we're challenged to just be the truth. If it is real, it will be real. If it is true, it will be true. If he is God, he is God. And what he says will come to fruition no matter what anybody else does. So I think we spend a lot of time defending God. And he does not need our defense. However, he needs our fellowship. He wants our fellowship. I don't know if he needs it, but he desires it. How's that? He desires to be with us, and he desires to come into our lives and become a part of life in us. This is Mary's moment. And if you go with me to Luke chapter 1, Mary begins to lift up a song, which for a Jewish woman would be very expected. The Psalms are full of what? Songs. What do you do when you're happy? Sing. How many of y'all sing? How many of y'all sing that can't sing? How many of y'all sing in the shower? That's a good place to sing because the water retones those of us who have no pitch. But we sing because we're what? Happy. How many of y'all ever get a song in your mind early in the morning you can't get it off your mind all day long? Huh? I guarantee you, I know my song of the week already will be Oh Holy Night. Because that just hit me and I'll be walking around and I'll be in the middle of the day next week and I'll be going, Oh, holy night. Now, I don't do it where anybody can hear me. But there's a song in my heart. How many of y'all got a song in your heart? You do. If you got Jesus Christ, you got a song in your heart. You got something to sing about. You got something to say. And you have the reality of peace that's been birthed in you. The reality of peace. Now, let me show you something you got to get to. You will never have peace if you're going to be on the take all the time. How many of y'all are always on the take? When I say it like that, you don't want to raise your hand. Well, I'm always on the take. You really don't want to say it like that. But you know what? I find that I live in a culture that's always on the take. I find that I minister in a church in the 21st century that's always on the take. It's always on the take. You say, even at Hillview? Yeah, there's a lot of us on the take.
Because I hear this all the time. I always hear, what's in it for me? Did worship bless me? Did the Bible study bless me? Did the Spirit move on me? Did I get a blessing? These are not the words of Scripture. These are the words of modern day preachers who've tried to sell us the gospel. It's not about my blessing. It's about that I let the blessing flow. How many of y'all are ready to let the blessing flow? You want to find peace, you got to let the blessing flow. Now look at what Mary did. She let the blessing flow. Go with me to that 46th verse of the first chapter of Luke. As Mary has realized the Holy Spirit has dwelt in her and is bringing forth Jesus in her. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. How many of y'all want to find a little peace in this chaotic world? How many of y'all would agree with me? There's some chaos out there. Any of y'all bumped into some chaos this week? How many of y'all were a little beacon of hope this week? I heard some reports that some of you were nice at the checkout places. I mean, I get these reports back to me. It was so funny. There was a checkout person that went to Hillview, and there was a customer being checked out, and the customer was nice. And the checkout person went, "You're doing that hope thing we talked about at church." She goes, "Where do you go to church?" "That church. Hillview. A place of hope, a place of peace." Well, guess what I'm going to ask you to do this week? Go be peace. Don't have, watch this. Even here's how we say it. I want peace. Why do you not find it? You're on the take. I want this in my life so I can feel what? I want peace. Well, guess what we're really saying when we say, I want peace? We're saying, I don't want to be bothered. How many of y'all think peace is a state of not being bothered? Well, that's not true. Mary is being bothered. She's pregnant. This is not a comfortable situation. I don't know personally, but I've made observation. Ladies, how many of you all would testify that when I was pregnant, it was just totally a comfortable situation, or was it uncomfortable? Janet, you've had a little experience in this. Was it an uncomfortable situation? At times, but it brought about great what? Joy. How many of y'all have had some uncomfortable situations that bring about great joy? See, you got to begin to know the heart of God. God was willing to be uncomfortable, and Mary was willing to be uncomfortable. And Mary, instead of complaining, what does she begin to use to find peace? She rejoices. So let's start right there. If you want to live out peace in your life, you've got to start rejoicing. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit right now in this moment, to fill your mind in the name of Jesus with all the things you could rejoice about. Amen. Just think about them for a moment. Let your Holy Spirit imagination look at all the things you can rejoice about. What are some things you can rejoice about already this morning? I'm alive. How many of y'all glad to be alive? Not everybody's doing that this morning. That's a fact. Well, now that you're alive, I got the next question. What are you going to do with it? I don't think it's enough to just take a breath. I think you need to breathe in Jesus as you breathe in oxygen. Amen. Not only are we alive, we are really alive. Because most everybody in this particular gathering has a relationship with Jesus. How many of y'all have a relationship with Jesus? How many of y'all know that God saved you? Well, guess what's in you? The peace of God. Now, guess what you're supposed to do? Go be the peace. Mary said, I know what's happening to me, and I'm amazed that God would grant me this favor. You want to find peace? Start thanking God for the way He's made you. You want to find peace? Start thanking God for the way He's made you. Now, I wish I could sit here and tell y'all, man, your pastor's really good at that. I am just such a thankful person. Sometimes I forget what God has done. Any of y'all got that problem? I find it easier in my human life to talk about what I don't have instead of rejoicing what I do have. Any of y'all got that human problem? Sometimes I'll get anxious because I don't think God moves fast enough. Any of y'all got that problem? God, I want it now. How many of y'all like that? I was a demanding little child, and sometimes I'm that way toward heaven. God, fill this church up right now. Baptize thousands right now. God, do this right now. You know what God said? He said, there's you a joke. If I did any of the things that you wanted me to do, they would implode your life. I will give you what I have for you when you are ready for it. Now remember, you've got to get this. I want you to be a people of peace. Holy Spirit, teach us what we have. How many of y'all are glad to know we have life in here? I'm glad to come to the church and see Jack, who was baptized last week, baptize his wife this week. And watch this. I'm not making that story up. You all saw it. You all have been witness to a family being saved. Does that not stimulate you? Oh, please tell me it stimulates you a little bit. Tell me, please lie to me, okay? It just conned me. The church ought to be excited that others can have this message. Mary was excited about this. She says, Lord, I cannot believe you've come into this humble servant. You want to find peace. Remember, you don't deserve what God gives you. Now, when you come to that state of mind, then you'll be thankful for what you have. Here's the problem with American Christianity. We are an arrogant people in America. Would you agree with me? Now, look, I'm being soft here so nobody gets too offended so you can hear what I got to say. We Americans are naturally arrogant. We're demanding. We think we deserve a little more than the rest of the world. Would you agree with me? Now watch, we've been blessed with a lot of stuff. How many of y'all realize we've been blessed with a lot of stuff? Yeah. Think about all this stuff we get for Christmas. Where's most of it going? Attic. And it's going to be stored there, warehoused there for a couple of years, and then it's going to a 5 o'clock in the morning yard sale. Am I being truthful? You see, what we got to get out of is we got to quit saying, you know what, my life is going to be blessed by having a bunch of stuff. How many of you all have come to the conclusion, now I can talk to y'all at the 8 o'clock service here, this is not going to work well at the 11 o'clock service. Y'all pray for me, I'll tell you right now. Because most of us in here are old enough to have gotten some of the things we wanted and it didn't work. How many of y'all have had that moment? You're talking about something that'll get a human being out of sorts is to have a deep desire and you just sit there and think, if I just get this, it'll all be all right. Chase Goff, one of my buddies that grew up here in the youth group, in his testimony, he talks about this, and Chase is going to be a wonderful preacher. He talks about all of his life wanting a state championship ring. And he thought about what that would be like. Well, he got one, and I was talking to him one day, and I said, I love that part of your testimony. He said, it was absolutely not what I thought it was going to be. He said, I thought, you know, bells and whistles would go off, and bands would play. And he said, you know what? When the next season starts, nobody even remembers it. Huh? I'm really going to tell you all something. Our fame is very short-lived. I mean, I guarantee you, most of you can't remember what the top news stories were in January of 06. Because you're only into the news stories that are going on what? Today. And those also will what? Fade. And Mary says, wait a minute, I am amazed, God, that you would be in me. So here's my recommendation. If you want to find peace, you got to get off the take. And you got to quit saying, Lord, what are you going to give me? And you got to start saying, Lord, what do I need to be? What do I need to be? As a follower of yours, what do I need to be? Not what do I need to receive, but what do I need to be? And you know what I found? Mary found that being a humble servant qualified her for God's great activity. You want to find peace? Be humble. Let me tell you some things I already know about you and God. You're worthy. How many of y'all can relax? You're worthy. Go like this. Whew. Even say it, I'm worthy. I want you to confess it, I'm worthy. That's a pretty weak confession. I'm worthy. See, because most people don't believe they're worthy. I mean, I know some of you grew up with preachers that sat up there with their big King James Bibles and swatted you back and forth through the auditorium, letting you know what vile sinners you were. I've come to the conclusion I already know I'm a vile sinner. When I walked through the doors of the church, I knew I'd broken the Ten Commandments. How many of you already known that? I knew I didn't have any hope. I knew I didn't have any peace. And I knew I was a rascal. How many of you already had that knowledge when you walked into here? I already knew that I had done things God told me not to do. How many of y'all know that? But what I didn't know is how much God loved me. And that's where the peace comes in. He did that to Mary. She says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I want to challenge you to rejoice in God, your Savior, and peace will come into your life. And then she says this, look, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Well, why did they call her blessed? Because she was humble enough to become vulnerable enough for God to do something great in her. I'm going to blow you away. If you look for the blessing, you'll never find it. If you'll become the blessing, you will be blessed. What's Jesus doing? He's becoming the what? Blessing of hope, blessing of peace, blessing of joy, blessing of love. So church, I want to challenge you this Christmas, become it. Become it. You say, am I qualified? You are worthy of God's hope and God's peace and of God's what? Love. Mary goes on and she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. We've sung it all morning. How many of y'all, the Mighty One's done some great things for you? Okay, be at peace. Now, I'm going to give you a tag here. Let's make it active, all right? Let's make it active. How many of you all have some thoughts sometimes during the week that you start thinking, man, I can't get through this thing. I can't do this thing. I'm not as good as anybody else. Anybody have those thoughts? Huh? Come on, anybody have those thoughts? What does it take away from you? It takes away joy, but what does it begin to do to the inside of you? Uncomfortable, and we begin to leave our peace. How many of y'all leave your peace? How many of y'all have these things happen to you? You get intimidated. How many of y'all have ever walked to a Christmas party? Seen people all dolled up, all jazzed up? Maybe you weren't quite as dolled up or jazzed up. What'd you begin to feel? How many of y'all, Sue just stated that. How many of y'all feel inferior? Well, that's the devil talking to you. Because guess what? Peace doesn't come from what you wear. Why do you think people drink at a Christmas party? I love watching Christmas parties. Most people can't carry on a conversation in America unless they have two drinks. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You've been to the same party. I've been there with you. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how at a party the conversation won't start until about 45 minutes? Takes that long to get a mild buzz. Then they all get a mild buzz, and then they can start what? Talking. Isn't it great to know that when you come into the party in Jesus Christ, you are already pre-released? I am who I am in Jesus Christ. I am what God said I am. I stand with the possibility in heaven in me. I want to talk to you because I no longer have anything to hide because I've been forgiven. That's some serious peace. So Christians get to go turn the water into wine. Have you ever thought about it? When I'm following Jesus, my water in Jesus Christ is as good as the world's wine. Wow! Why? I've already got going on inside of me what most of the world is paying high dollar for. Is that not the truth? I mean, you think, look at these Christmas commercials. Such a con job. Give her diamonds and she'll love you forever. That ain't true. You give her diamonds, you'll be Superman for the week, and as soon as you pull a stunt the next week, you're in the same boat you were before you spent all that money. Now that's the absolute truth. Now she's just fussing at you and you see that big diamond flashing every time she waves her hands at you. Going, I could have had a new gun. I could have had a new boat. But now I put a diamond on the finger that is taking me out. But watch this. Most of us give even to do what? Yeah, we do. I mean, when I give Elizabeth a nice gift, I sit there and look at her, man. I have an expectation of reactions. I'm not lying. I listen. What do you think about that? Well, what am I saying? Tell me how good I am, honey. I said, do you think that guy, other guy you was dating in high school would give you something like that? No, he wouldn't have done that. Huh? Is that not true? And see, it's what I'm telling you, man. When you're on the take, you'll never find peace. And when I was reading Mary's song, I realized her whole song is about not being on the take. Lord, I realized that I was a humble servant. I realized I was just Mary, a good Jewish girl who was trying to live out my life. I realized, God, it is You that has done something great in me. It is You that has put Jesus in me. It is You that has chosen me. And because of that, I rejoice. And Lord, I even realize that in this humble servant, generation after generation will call me blessed, not because of what I've done, but because what you're doing in me. Now, I got to checking this out. May the same be said about you. You want to find peace in your life, leave the trail of Jesus behind every day you live. Just leave Jesus behind your path. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, one day our path comes to an end. And I hope they can say this about everybody at Hillview. They followed Jesus. They were crazy, but they followed Jesus. I'm telling you, I know this stuff works. I don't know how it works, but somehow or another, when you give into somebody else, peace comes into your life. I think of the single mother's oil change. I hate changing oil. I mean, I literally despise doing anything with a wrench. And I'm under the car, and they all laughed at me. They think I don't know how to do it. It's not that I don't know how to do it. It's I don't like to do it. There's a difference, you know. And I look at all these men on a Saturday. First thing on a Saturday, Scott, I don't like to get up early. Okay, that's the first problem we got, all right? I mean, I don't know why we can't change oil from 10 to 3. No, we got all them good old boys. Let's get up 4 o'clock and get ready to change oil. I said, let's sleep. See, I think it's macho to say, let's sleep. See what I'm saying? But we get ready to get all the oil changed. Guess what? It amazes me, though. I came home. I had oil all over me. Andy Bolton, he was supposed to be a servant of God. J.D. and I are well over 6 foot, and he found every compact car he could find in a lot to bring. J.D., like, 6'4", 6'5", and J.D., because he's a loving brother, he put his pastor under the car, and we're up there trying to find stuff, and then on top of that, we even found a car that didn't have an oil filter. We said, this car ain't got an oil filter. Well, thank God there was some cool mechanic guy, and he says, oh, this is a high-tech oil filter. It's on the side up here right there. Then I realized, how do they expect us to serve God when we can't even find a filter? But God was doing what? He was blessing others through people willing to serve. And what was so cool, I was tired. My body hurt in places it hadn't hurt in a long time. But for some reason during that day, I was totally at peace. I was totally at peace. Why? I felt my life had been used in a very small way to help somebody else out. How many of y'all find that's really when you get at peace? And see, we miss it because we think peace is going to be a great vacation. How many of y'all find sometimes a great vacation is a hassle? How many of y'all have ever had that? Okay, we're going to take this vacation, it's going to be wonderful, and we're going to be relaxed. How many of y'all, see, here's what I'm proving my point. If you're always on the take, you'll never find the peace God has to offer. I've had that happen more than once. You read the brochure of the vacation place. Like Elizabeth and I were going on a cruise. Now, it was fun, but I tell you what, the room, I got a closet in my house bigger than the room. So I'm spending the night in a closet, having a great time, on a bed that's got a mattress, that thing. That's called camping. But they dress it up, give you some food and some chocolate strawberries, and you call that cruising. If you had some s'mores, you'd call that camping. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? But you think it's going to make you what? Happy and at peace. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. We will never buy our hope and we will never buy our peace. And so here's what I'm trying to really get across to you today. Receive it like Mary did. Because I'm going to tell you something. From generation to generation, they will be blessed through how we live. Be the peace. And she goes on, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts. Be careful. How many of y'all get proud in your thoughts? Listen to one of the songs we listen to in America and we get all jazzed about it. How many of y'all remember Elvis? I'm not dogging the king of rock and roll. Was the king a little bit proud? What song did he tag into? It wasn't his original song. It was by Frank Sinatra. Frankie, he wasn't proud at all, was he? Frankie, huh? He wasn't proud, was he? See, I can't talk about these guys at 11 o'clock. They don't know who they are. Huh? Frank Sinatra. Remember, Merle, you remember Frank Sinatra? Yes, you do. Well, they may not have piped him into Burksville. I take that back. You're right. You know, you remember Elvis, don't you, Merle? Absolutely. Elvis, what song did they remake? I did it what? Y'all want to lose peace? Do it your way. Look at Elvis in the end. I mean, Elvis, when he was in the groove, you know, when he was getting it all that, when he could actually wear it. How many of y'all, look, Elvis went from like a size 38 to a size 68. See, indulgence will blow you up. Elvis, how does he die? On drugs. What did Elvis die from? Overindulgence. And he had no what? He had all the motorcycles he wanted. He had all the Cadillacs he wanted. He had all the women screaming at him. He had everything that the world said would bring you a what? Peace. I did it what? My way. And Blake, yes, Elvis did sing that. He was not Barry White, okay? Blake corrects all the songs and the artists that I get wrong during sermons, so I do know that one was Elvis, originally by Frank Sinatra, originally by somebody else before Frank Sinatra got that. Is that correct, Mr. Bolton? Well, good. If you don't remember, that means I'm correct for the moment. All right, look at here. Look at here. Extended now. I want to stop here. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. You want to find peace? Realize that Jesus wants to be in your life. He wants to be in your life. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. He has said to our fathers, He has said, live. Amen? What's Mary doing? She is fulfilling the promise made to Abraham. How many of y'all glad to know God will keep His word? Huh? He will keep His word. He will keep His word. Have you learned something about peace today? All right, if you're going to have a peaceful Christmas and a peaceful life, what do you got to get off of? Got to get off of what? Go ahead and say it. I got to get off the take. Even when you give, you got to get off the what? How many of y'all even buy Christmas presents like this? Well, I got to buy so-and-so a gift because I know they're buying me a gift. Don't buy them one. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're giving out of obligation, you're not giving. If you're giving out of obligation, you're not giving. You're buying. There's a difference in buying and giving. You see, Jesus didn't buy you. Jesus gave Himself to you. See, Jesus didn't say this. Because some people are going to be righteous, I'm going to die. Because I'm telling you right now, God could see into the future. And God saw this lazy, sorry church in America that halfway receives what He says do and is irrepentant and is unholy in many parts. And Jesus saw a bunch of American Christians who give Him about 60 minutes of their week and then absolutely do their own thing Sunday after Sunday and week after week. Jesus saw the church being turned into a marketing institution in American culture where it's come and buy a moment with God for 6 minutes. He saw all that and died anyway. That's why when Jesus was at the garden, He didn't say, God, I'll go to the cross because I know they'll be good. He didn't say that. He said, God, my Father, who art in heaven, if it be Your will, if it glorifies You, if this is what You want, I'll do it. What had Mary said through her song? I can't believe You're going to use me, God. But if You want to, I'll what? I'll do it. You want to find peace? You want to live peace, then you got to be peace. And here's the great news. Every one of us ought to be at peace. Now, let me tell you, let's really talk about this for a minute. Guess what? There's people in the auditorium right now that need to know Jesus. I want you to find Jesus Christ because He's already found you. Sounds weird, doesn't it?
I got people all the time out there looking for God. Let me help you. He just found you. Here's the good news. God's not lost. How many of y'all are glad about that? Even though we look for Him, He's not lost. In America, we've been seeking God for 30 years. Everybody out there seeking God, seeking experience with God. That's because we smoked a lot of dope. And we seek stuff all the time, okay? God has found us. God found us 2,000 years ago in a virgin named Mary. God's already found the human race. And He found their salvation because He created their salvation because He created them. Yeah? And God found favor in us. And He wants to forgive us. Now, let me tell you the truth. Sin will cause you to be unpeaceful. How many of y'all found that to be true? How many of y'all, when you're guilty, you're a little anxious? How many of y'all know you did it? Yeah. Well, here's the deal. 10 commandments are there. Thou shalt not. How many of y'all remember those thou shalt nots? And it really doesn't matter if you have them in 6 tons or you have them on a piece of paper, they still say the same thing. Down in Alabama, remember that judge? He thought if you made like 6-ton Ten Commandments, people were going to keep them better or something. I never realized why they had to be so huge. See, here's the deception of Americans. They think they're going to plaster the Ten Commandments on a public school wall and things are going to get better. Baloney. You ought to read your Bible. Moses couldn't even get them down the hill and they broke every one of them. What makes you think you're better than those people? Oh, I know. It's the arrogance of being an American, which keeps you from ever being peaceful. Here's what I'm telling you. We're never going to fill in the blank and find God. You're going to have to receive Him in a mysterious way. First of all, you've got to realize you broke the Ten Commandments. How many of you realize you broke the Ten Commandments? God said, have no other gods before me. How many of y'all have had some other gods before Him? Me too. Mine started with me. How many of y'all have done this? God, I know that's what you said, but I'm going to do this. How many of y'all have ever done that? That's a violation of the first commandment. How many of y'all have ever been addicted to something? What are addictions? We talk like that's a new secret. I love all my fellow addicts that hang out with me because they're like, this is something really special. Like nobody's ever done this before, you know. People come to me and they go, I'm an alcoholic. I go, really? That's not special. That's called sinner. Yeah. It's not like a special deal. It's just a breach of the first commandment. That's all it is. I mean, I know we've made a big rigmarole about it, but that's really all it is. Instead of having the Lord as my God, I chose Bud. And every day I went to the altar of Bud Light. Drank 24 ounces, hoping it'd bless my life. And guess what I found out? It didn't. I went to Puff the Magic Dragon. Johnny, you working this, and guess what? Puff didn't deliver. How many of y'all found it? People that smoke dope a long time, they never find any peace. They're without conflict because they can't think anymore. That's all that happens. Watch this. See, I'm going to show you. Here's the deception. Being numb is not peaceful. That's why we use so many chemicals. We think if we're just numb, then it's all right. See, we're trying to cope instead of go through. So don't get guilty. I mean, everybody's got a breach of the first commandment. If you're a UK fan, you've breached the first commandment. There's a lot more people that believe in UK than they do Jesus Christ. Well, I'll show you. Y'all think I'm funning around. I'll tell you the truth. Watch this. UK fans in Kentucky, they'll drive 2.5-3 hours to get to Lexington. They'll eat for an hour. They'll go to the UK basketball game. That basketball game go into overtime, and as long as they win, they never complaining that service went long. They'll drive, and watch this, they will spend 10 hours of their human life to go see UK play basketball, and they'll never, never gripe about it whatsoever. If church goes 5 minutes over, they're having a total come apart. The same fans. You know why? They believe in UK basketball. Now, if you believe in UK football, you are deceived and you need to really some help. You need some help in your beliefs. Although they've made it to a bowl this year. Be looking for Jesus to return shortly. That was one of the signs. It's one of the bowls, you know. Jesus opens up 7 bowls. Well, there was one of those bowls. If UK makes it to a bowl, be alert. Things are quick, all right? It's a breach of what? First commandment. How many of y'all have ever stolen something? Huh? By the way, just on a side note, if you notice, U of L. Y'all know that school? They play real football. They playing in a BCS bowl. See, that's like a real bowl. There's like consolation bowls and there's real bowls. I just wanted y'all to know that. But you know, when you get beat by a team in Kentucky by 50-something points, that's why you get to go play in a real bowl. They're a real team. But guess what? If you believe in Louisville, you're still going to get disappointed because they can't stand up against some people from New Jersey for a halftime. You see, anything we put our faith in is going to come up short. That's what the Ten Commandments tells us. How many of y'all have ever stolen something? Lied about something? Anybody here lied about something before? How many of y'all have ever lied? Come on, just take a survey. How many of y'all have ever lied? Even y'all that pride yourself in being honest have lied? How many of y'all have ever said something you didn't know was true? You just said it anyway because it's just something good to say. How many of y'all quote the news? They lie a lot. We have people in our culture we professionally pay to lie, called newscasters. And they tell it the way they want you to what? See it and hear it. See, we break those Ten Commandments. Now, let me tell you where peace comes in. God said, even though you violated my law, I love you enough to come to you, to die on a cross for you, to rise from the grave from you, and to be an advent of peace inside of you. You say, well, how do I get that inside me? Just like Mary, you got to say, God, here's your humble servant. I want to follow you, and I'm humbled, God. I know I can't save myself, so I'm going to ask you to come into my what? Life. How many of y'all realize whoever does that will be saved? You say, well, Pastor Eric, don't I got to do some spiritual jumping jacks or come to the altar and do some flips? You mean all I got to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sins and repent of my sins and be sorry for those things and ask Jesus Christ to come in my life and I'll be saved? Watch. Yeah. And we get so mad, we go, but don't I need to memorize some verses and cut my hair and put on a holy suit and become a Baptist? No. When you're following a Jew, why would you become a Baptist? You might need to become a little more Jewish. Celebrate a little more. Polka a little more. Embrace your family a little more. But you're going to become a member of heaven. Receive Christ today. That's the ultimate peace. What do you think? I just don't know how you're going to be peaceful if you're not going to be forgiven. Because if you're going to refuse forgiveness, you're going to always walk around guilty. And I've always found that guilty people are always anxious. Because think about this. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you got to always worry about the end of time. How many of y'all worried about dying? The only people that are worried about dying are the people that are not sure about their salvation. See, I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about living. Now that creates my anxiety. Am I being the right kind of father? Am I being the right kind of husband? Those things take time. But I'm telling you what, dying, that's already been taken care of. That's already been taken care of. I can be at peace. Isn't that neat? And so I just want you guys to be at peace today. How many of y'all can say, God's got me, and I'm going to make a difference from generation to generation, and I'm going to let God be glorified in my existence? To do that, you might need to repent a little bit today and say, God, you know what? I've been on a take. This is loving. Please hear me lovingly today. The church has been on the take. I've heard it my whole ministry. People coming up to me, well, Pastor, I didn't get a blessing. If you come here to Hillview, I want you to know I could care less about your personal blessing. Care less. Don't even bring that junk to me. Now, you can go to about half the other Baptist churches, and that pastor will make sure that you personally get satisfied. But if you live like that, you're on the take. And when you get ready to go to bed at night, you'll never be at peace because you'll never get what you actually need. Amen. You need Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, that's when it finally eases up. Now let me warn you. Following Jesus does not mean you will have a life without chaos. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. Doesn't mean you won't die. Doesn't mean you don't get diseases.
You say, why do I follow him? Well, that death thing I think is a pretty good idea. You know, when you die, you reside in heaven. Now, what we've done in American culture, we go, well, I don't believe there's a hell. Well, what do you think that... I mean, how arrogant can we be? I mean, just think about the intellectual arrogance. Well, because I don't believe it, it doesn't exist. Well, good. Go believe me a house into existence then if you've got that kind of power. Think about this. So if I'm on Scottsville Road this week and just go, it is not crowded, then all of a sudden it becomes not crowded? See, that's the arrogance, intellectual arrogance we have. I've studied with all those guys and gals. I wanted to go study with them, and guess what I found? You will never outthink the reality of this simple God. And here's why God blows away the minds of the elite intellectual. God moves with simple, humble people, and they can't stand it. Mary, a humble servant, unexpected to house the glory of the forever God. But guess what? I love the story because that means we're all qualified. What do you think? Whether you're an elite intellectual or a humble person just getting it done, God has something for you. One of those things is the peace of forgiveness. Amen? All right, well, let's stand together. You got an opportunity to receive that today. How many of y'all have heard clearly you can have some peace? Huh? You can have some peace. Well, let's decide to receive it. By the way, if you want to have a little more Christmas action, great opportunity today. Come to this altar and just say this, Lord, I'm on the take. I'm always thinking about what's in it for me. Help me in the next 2 weeks be released from that kind of thinking and start flowing with your presence. What do you think? Now, if you need to know Jesus Christ right now, just pray to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. That's where it starts. I've sinned. How many of y'all know you've sinned? Lord, I've sinned. I've broke the Ten Commandments. I've not done what you've asked me to do. Now, I know I hear some of us thinking right now, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm as good as anybody else in here. Well, whoopity-doo, that gets you a trip to hell. You say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, good. When you're down there, you can tell us how you believe that. You can say, well, I intellectually didn't believe this was going to exist. What are you going to do when you're there? Believe your way out of it? I bet you'll stand there and go, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. Guess what it'll become? Real. And you won't take the power of positive thinking and think your way into heaven. It's a reality. Sin is death and God doesn't want you to die. There's the mercy of God. And so why don't you tell him today, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I want to know your peace. Now for those of you that are following Jesus, I want to be your peace. I want to be your peace this week, Lord. And then guess what? This prayer would be cool today. Lord, it's Christmas. And I want to pray that the generations that follow me might know you because I live. Amen? Father, open this altar. You know everybody that needs to be baptized. You know everybody that needs to receive you. You know everybody that needs to come and repent. You know everything we've done all week. You already know it, Lord. And God, I confess I'm absolutely powerless to motivate, to persuade, to do anything eternal, but you're eternal, Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to take this altar today. And maybe just flat surprise us, God, because I would even confess at Hillview that sometimes we're just in a rhythm. Praise a little bit, hear a little preaching, and let's go to the next class. But today at this altar, God, please forgive us for being ungrateful. That we have eternity in our lives and we look at so many temporary things. I know I do, God. And Lord, I just confess today, Lord, make this altar a moment of eternal reality and absolute peace. God, for those that need Jesus, may they come forward and receive him. For those that have already received him, may they confess him in baptism. And for those, God, that are just struggling, saying, God, I can't feel you. I can't feel your reality. Well, in the name of Jesus, may they come be touched by the Holy Spirit and know his reality. I mean, y'all know right now the Holy Spirit's waiting to touch many of you and heal you today. He is. Here's what activates God. You ready? Yes. Yes, Lord. I'll come. This altar's yours because it's Jesus' first. So come. Make this a holy morning. Oh, holy morning. As we're touched by the Holy Spirit. Come on. Jesus wants you in your life. Come on, right now. People coming right now. People are being saved right now. People are being touched by God right now. You won't know Him by your intellect. And I speak on authority. I got enough degrees to choke a horse. None of them will save me. I've been there. See, I talk with authority. I don't talk as a preacher that doesn't have it. I talk as a preacher that's already been through it. And I can tell you that won't get you there. But His name is Jesus. He'll get you there. Come on, church. Touch Him, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Let us repent. Christ. Like a child.